You're on Alive 90.5 with Darren and Jim and Spotlight, and again, sharing the day with our listeners, we're sitting at CMRI, an amazing institute that tries to define solutions to problems that affects the everyday person. And the people here are just amazing, Darren. I'm just blown away by their sincerity and their passion and compassion for trying to find cures for these dreaded diseases. And we're delighted to have in the boardroom of CMRI, Dr. Samantha Jin, the Senior Research Officer, Gene Therapy Research Unit. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having you. We're delighted that you're here with us to share your story. And what's your story? Just, you know, 100 words or less. What's your story about getting involved in what you did and where you grew up and, you know, those types of things?
Sure, I'd be really happy to share that. So I guess I've always had a love of science. I had a great science teacher in high school. I loved chemistry. And during my undergrad, I think when I started doing molecular biology and genetics and working with DNA, that was, you know, that really was something that I felt passionate about. And I did my PhD looking into antibiotic resistance and how antibiotics aren't working. And then after that, I felt that I wanted to expand and really have a sort of clinical, translational aspect to what I was doing, and was fortunate enough to get a job as a postdoc in the gene therapy research unit here at the Children's Hospital and also CMRI. We're a joint unit, and it maintains those sort of links to patients and the children at the hospital.
It's amazing, and thanks for sharing that with us. Brief but very, very succinct in getting to the stage. Can I call you Sam?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
thanks.
Please do.
Sam, looking at your developmental journey in terms of treatments and strategies, they really home into what most of us probably do understand as a word, bone marrow and transfer and all of those types of things in the liver. I think they're the worlds in which you play or investigate.
Yes, that's correct. So when I started here, I was working mostly with different types of gene delivery systems. So we use what are known as viral vectors to deliver genes to patient cells or to cells to try and develop therapies to cure those diseases. So some of the target systems that I've been interested in is gene therapy to bone marrow or hematopoietic progenitor cells to try and correct immunodeficiency disorders. And we were really privileged and lucky to be involved in the very first trial in Australia treating an infant by gene therapy. And that was in collaboration with a group in the French quite a few years ago now. But, you know, that was really wonderful to be involved in that experience.
And your eyes tell me that. I mean, it's amazing how they tell a story. And listeners, it's just wonderful to see Sam's eyes tell that story, being the first and what you learn from that. We talk about bone marrow. What really is that? I mean, people say, oh, I'm going to have a bone marrow transport, but what does that really mean?
So for someone who has a deficiency, so these are quite rare, and they're basically born without the ability to make a functional immune system. So they're very susceptible to all sorts of infections, bacterial infections, viral infections, and they would need a bone marrow transplant from preferably a sibling donor or a matched donor to restore that immune function. So the gene therapy that we did was to modify their own bone marrow so that they could then make their own immune system. And what was important about that is they don't have, I mean, these infants that have this disease, they're not at risk of what we call graft versus host disease or rejecting, or the bone marrow, you know, rejecting their own body based on sort of immunological mismatches between the donor and the patient.
Thank you.
Sam, thank you for joining us on Spotlight this morning. Back to basics in some sort of way, and I know that you know this well because we've been told that on Google Scholar you're a bit of a standout at CMRI, but all the team is as well. So not trying to put up your pedestal there, but most definitely with your on-screen antics of doing videos for CMRI in the past. But it's that sort of story which I know you talk about with this sort of thing being like recipes and how you do correct things. And it's really puts gene therapy in a good way for our listeners to understand. Are you able to just quickly share that sort of thought to really just capsulize the essence of gene therapy in something that's so easily understandable that everyone gets it?
Okay, I'll do my best. I guess the idea of gene therapy itself is quite simple. So the idea would be to take a patient's cells or their organ and deliver or restore function to those cells so that they can then go on and do what they would normally do. So I guess gene therapy is like using genes as medicine. So what we hope to do is to be able to, using a single treatment, restore function to the patient's own cells that aren't working properly, and whether that might be to the bone marrow or to the liver, which our group is has a strong translational focus on, to restore function to liver.
And I want to talk about that in the sense that the liver is a very important organ, isn't it, in our body. Can you tell our listeners, for the ordinary person, how important that liver is in terms of its significance in our body?
Yeah, well, the liver does, a whole range of different things. So it's very important when you eat food. That food is broken down, that protein is broken down, it produces something called ammonia, which is very toxic in the liver through what's known as the urea cycle, and that's something that we're interested in developing treatments for. Actually, process that ammonia, removes that from the blood, and then it's removed from the body just as urine. That's just one function. It's also important for detoxifying other metabolites, obviously alcohol, just all sorts of functions, bile synthesis. There's just many, many things that the liver does.
This morning we're talking to Dr. Samantha Jin on Spotlight with Darren and Jim, Senior Research Officer at Gene Therapy Research Unit at SAMRI, and it's absolutely fantastic for you to tell the importance of the work that you do and the continued work that you do. Let's go to a little break and come back.
Alive 90.5.
Just before the break, Sam, you were talking about the importance of liver and what you're doing with gene therapy. Where's your world today in 2020? What are you really homing in at the moment? Because, listeners, we have a real academic, a real researcher here who, she won't tell you, but Dr. Samantha Jin, if you Google her, has many awards and has been held in the highest esteem in Australia. And one of the things that I felt was really interesting was to look that you've been able to be the first in a number of areas in breaking through with gene therapy as it relates to bone marrow and that, and congratulate you on that. What are you doing on Wednesdays going forward from today?
So at the moment I'm interested in the liver and, as I mentioned, urea cycle disorders. So this is an important function of the liver. And for some infants, they're born with a deficiency that they aren't able to detoxify their blood from that ammonia. And, that has some very serious health implications for those infants, and they would need to go and have a liver transplant. So one of the things that I'm working on in our group, headed by Ian Alexander, is to develop gene therapy treatments for those children who would require a liver transplant and might not have access to one.
Can you tell our listeners, how do you do that? You get up, you eat your rice bubbles in the morning, you jump in the car, and you come here and you say, hi, I'm going to look at how to solve this problem, particularly for infants, with regard to gene therapy. Where do you start? I mean, I wouldn't know where to start.
Yeah, so we're very lucky that we have some good models that we can model those diseases in the lab. We have access to patients who have gone on to have a liver transplant, so we have actual patient cells that we can test our therapies on, which has been very valuable. And we use viral vectors, so this is a way of delivering genes to those cells And what I'm hoping to do is something called genome editing, and that is to actually go into the patient's cells and make a permanent change that would be maintained for the rest of that patient's life.
Sam, I'm going to ask you, have you ever in doing your research stomped your foot down and said, yes, you know, in the sense that this has been a moment that has taken you further on the journey? Tell us about that, you know, in your research. I know when you probably put your pen down from doing your doctorate, it was yes. But is there moments here where you get little victories?
There is, definitely. And I think that keeps us going, because there's also a lot of work to get to a point where you have that sort of yes moment. So
was your last one?
So myself and, you know, obviously members in
colleagues,
the team,
yeah.
We published work earlier this year or end of last year where we were actually able to modify patient liver cells. So these were liver cells from an infant who had a urea cycle disorder, and actually correct those cells at a really high efficiency. So that was like a very exciting moment. So that was probably the most recent one.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
What does that mean for that patient, but their family as well? What does it mean for them? And do you get to connect with them, or are they unknown to you? What does that mean?
So they're unknown to me. So they're sort of an anonymous person to me. But I guess while that child went on to have a liver transplant, I think it gives people hope, maybe. Other parents, families who are, you know, really have some really sick children, that people are working on these diseases. You know, they're often quite rare, so, you know, they often don't have a lot of options, and I guess it just gives those families hope that people are working on something that, you know, is very important to them.
And it's very important to us too, particularly from organ transplants and organ donations, because Darren and I, and particularly a number of others, have been very supportive of Donate Life, but in particular the Gremo Foundation of Jersey Day. And, you know, we just want to dip our lid to all of those who have made a conscious effort to, where appropriate and so on, to donate freely organs so that things can happen and give other people the opportunity. And with your help and support, is amazing, bringing together those wonderful people to do that. We're very blessed to have people like you, Sam.
Thank you.
So, Sam, where to from here in your research? What's on the cards next for you to look at? You're working on liver. Are there any other sorts of diseases that you're looking at, any other body organs which you're concentrating on in the gene therapy world?
So personally, apart from the liver, I've also working on a disease called NF1 or neurofibromatosis type 1, and again looking at gene therapy and trying to deliver genes to help patients with those conditions. So that's very early, so I don't have a lot of...
So just for our listeners, that condition, how would they know it has, or how does it manifest in someone who has a condition?
Yeah, so it's very variable. So it can just be known as cafe latte spots, or some people have, you know, quite disfiguring sort of tumours associated with the nerve. So it's very, very variable. So it's quite a complicated or complex disease to try and treat, but... we're just starting, so there hasn't been a lot of gene therapy for this disease. So, again, while we're just starting, I think it offers hope to people with NF1 and other related conditions that, you know, people are trying to do work to, you know, help their condition.
So we know those sort of journeys take a while. Is the kind of duration of you saying we're going to start working on that condition through to something that can help someone, is that time getting more compressed with science these days? What sort of periods are we talking about?
I think yes and no. And I think depending on what the disease is and what technology we have and how that technology can be applied to that disease will influence, I guess, how quickly something might make it to the clinic. And again, it also depends on how much funding. So often these sorts of basic researchers will need a, you know, commercial partner to really make that sort of be translated into the clinic in, you know, a quicker time. So, you know, if you're going to do it as an academic exercise, it might take longer than, you know, having a commercial partner.
Can I put this into context? One of our final questions to ask you for our listeners to visualise. During your time, I think you've said that you'd hope that you'll be able to bring some closure to the whole liver debate in the next 5 years. I mean, that's your hope or goal or different things, if I'm right with regards to that. Am I right in saying that perhaps I could keep my liver if it's damaged and with stem cell therapy be able to fix that up? Is that really where you'd like to go? Is that instead of the transplant?
Yeah, so for the liver, we're actually trying to, correct the actual liver cells rather than the stem cells.
Right.
So slightly different to the bone marrow, which right. forms a lot of different cells in the blood. But, yes, that would be the idea of the long-term goal, with a single treatment that you could actually offer a lifelong cure to people with liver disorders. And also, I guess, using what we know about the disease that we're studying and apply that to other liver disorders. You know, people in the world are already shown great success treating hemophilia. So delivering genes to the liver to allow patients to come off their factor or the need to have those sort of infusions for their blood disorder. So some gene therapy is already showing, you know, fantastic clinical success, and it's just a question of expanding that now to other diseases that might be more difficult to treat.
Well, thank you for joining us on Spotlight this morning. It's been absolutely a delight to have you. Dr. Samantha Jin, you have been an inspiration, and we wish you all the very best. We wish you all those yes moments to bring around a cure that will help the ordinary person who just goes on with their daily life. Thank you for doing what you do. Have a great day.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.